Greetings. We all came to the feast with our bucket of second tithe. I'll be honest, I put the money in a bag and I put the keys in for the rattle. But I'll take the keys out before I lose them. The money I'm not as concerned about, although it is important, isn't it, our second tithe? You know, we all came here with our bucket of second tithe. Maybe the money's in a bag. Maybe it's in a credit card, the way things go these days. But here we are. Hopefully we each brought our bucket list of anticipation. And we've had time already to start fulfilling those anticipations, those expectations, our A-list. Do you have an A-list? My A-list is a list of abundances here at the feast. That's my title, This Feast of Abundance. This Feast of Abundance. And on my A-list, yeah, there's second tithe. There's enough. I don't know if it's an abundance. We each have our own amount, but it's enough. But there's an abundance of time we have, abundance of fellowship opportunities, abundance of brethren, abundance of joy, the happiness, the smiles, food and drink. We'll actually feast. I think we have been. We'll actually do the feasting part as well. But the words, the abundance of words, my list is a long list. I hope you have your list. We each will have one. We come here to the Running Y Resort, and I thought, what did it take to carve this beautiful place out of a forest on the hillside? It took an abundance of money and labor and time and effort, and they carved it out and prepared it just for us for 8 days for this feast. And we're all here, and we all add to the whole, don't we? All add our part to it. We all add our part to the entire feast experience. In John 10, I won't turn there, but Jesus Christ, our Messiah, he told us that he came that we might have life and have it in abundance. What does that mean to you? What does it mean to God that he wants us to have life of abundance? We're here to experience those things and to think about them. We're here to live largely, way beyond our normal means. And we're living that largeness before God and before each other, with God, with our elder brother, and with each other as brethren. I so appreciated the message the first night, Mr. Shaby, and the video and the pictures and all those scriptures about the conditions in the kingdom, God's bounty, the manifold blessings. It's his kingdom. It stirs the heart to see those things and remember those messages about the abundant life. Let's be headed to Deuteronomy in chapter 14 and review real quick here some of the instructions. We've heard some already, and that's good, and we'll review a little bit this morning. I can say this morning. I remember yesterday it was afternoon. And if I'm nervous, you understand. Deuteronomy chapter 14. And we won't read the whole thing. We have to consider that today is the second of 8 days. I thought, oh, eight, you know, that's two circles, right? And eight is a zero, and well, not a zero, a circle on a circle. And the first circle is number one, enjoy. In the second circle of the 8 days is share. And we heard that already. We've heard it. It's a constant theme to enjoy the full experience, but make sure that we share the full experience. And as we read through some scriptures today, you will see both of these aspects, and we will look for those, but you will notice them. But today is the second day of eight. Some of our options, some of our 2T is already spent, but it was money well spent, wasn't it? Some of our opportunities, you know, as the days wear on, the opportunities dwindle as well. So early on, people are making plans and fulfilling those plans. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 23 says, "You shall eat before the Lord your God." It says, "You shall eat." I loved what Mr. Aratola had to say yesterday. That's my takeaway from his message. He says, God commands us to do what we already love to do. Some of us are really good at it, to feast and eat. And how appropriate is that? I like to think that all those commands, "you shall eat," just a little different perspective means we get to. We don't have to. We have the privilege of fulfilling God's words and his commands. That the world, those outside, they don't have this privilege. They don't get to experience the feast the way we do. They don't get to understand his commandments and how good they are for us. I think that's a big first lesson. He goes on to say we're to eat it in his presence, so we know that when we're in his presence, that molds, that shapes our attitudes and our participation and our willingness to be part of what he is doing here. He places his name here because his name is in each of us, and his name is on all of us, you and me. And we're to eat of the fruit of our labors. Now, our labors might be a field and a flock. Our labors might be the office or the shop or your kitchen or your garden. Whatever our labors are, I know many of us are at that point we'd like to retire or are retired. And yet many of those retirees are laboring in prayer for all of us. Thy kingdom come. He goes on in Deuteronomy 14, talking about how God has blessed us in verse 24, that we change it into silver according to how God has blessed us. He blesses us so that we can come here. And then verse 26 says, "You shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires." Whatever our appetites are. But you know, the word used, the Hebrew, is nephesh, that we usually think of as soul. And so I think the old King James, some of the other versions say, whatever your soul desires. And he talks about food. Our tongue is important, and our stomach is important. But what does our soul desire? What are the desires of our heart? We heard that yesterday. Mankind needs a heart transplant. How true that is. We have had a heart transplant. And yet, even with a transplanted heart, sometimes it needs re-educated, doesn't it? And so, here we are. What do we truly desire? It's something for us to consider. What's the first great commandment? Hear. Hear is the first word. You go back to Deuteronomy 6, or you read what Jesus said in Mark 12. The first word of the great commandment is hear, O Israel. And so we're here to hear, and we are hearing his words. But it goes on, says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul." It differentiates between the heart and soul. And it goes on, "and with all your might." Interesting that the dictionaries, that word might, it means strength. It also means exceedingly. It also means abundance or muchness. I thought, oh, the feast of muchness. That's a little different perspective. Our muchness comes from our what's in our hearts. As Mr. Light said, we need to go home with our cups full. We enjoy, we rejoice, it's required, it's expected. It's our responsibility that we now have the means to rejoice and help others to rejoice. Paul, in Acts chapter 20, again, I won't go there for time, but Paul quoted Jesus Christ as saying, "It's more blessed to give than to receive." But if we think about it, givers need receivers, don't they? We each have an opportunity to be a giver, and we have many opportunities to be a receiver. And your hospitality is only meaningful if you have gracious guests. Jesus, our Messiah, said what? He said he came to serve and not be served. But we think about it in this context, where do you ever see Jesus Christ hosting a dinner? He was always the guest in the stories about going to a Pharisee's house or someone's house. He was always the guest. And yet, as a guest, he was serving the host and all who were there, serving with his words, serving with his example, serving just by being there with his presence. It's a great gift to someone to receive their gift, whether it's hospitality, whatever it might be. That's part of sharing. There has to be two sides to sharing. Jesus even shared those light bulb moments, those words that lit up people's understanding, and we go and we read them, we remember them, and oh, the light bulb turns on for us. So receivers, when they're guests, they complement, they complete the giver or the host or the hostess. That's important. Deuteronomy chapter 16, just a couple verses. Deuteronomy chapter 16, thankfully Mr. Aratola went over this yesterday. But verse 12, let's pick it up just before it gets into the Feast of Tabernacles. Verse 12 of Deuteronomy 16 says, "You shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and so be careful to observe these statutes." A slave in Egypt. You know, a slave really doesn't have many options. He doesn't have many choices in their life. They're pretty well controlled and regulated and directed in their lives, don't show much freedom for choices. But then the next verse says, "You shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days when you have gathered from the office, from the shop, from your store, from your garden, from wherever you find your sources of income." And when you've gathered, then you have choices. Then you have options that you can decide and you can choose. And others are doing the same, and they want to spend those little jingles in ways that they enjoy, but that others get the joy as well. As much, maybe, sometimes it's more joyful to give. Oh, isn't that something that Paul said, Jesus said, it's more blessed to give, more happy to give. But he didn't say that just because you are the receiver doesn't mean you can't be happy. In fact, often humans, we people, God's people especially, are happiest when we're helping others to be happy. Yes, and it's true, some of our buckets are kind of little. Nobody's judged by their bucket. It's the contents, isn't it? What we put in our buckets. What's in our bucket list? What's in our hearts that we want to share? For we all have something to share. What is on your A-list, your abundance list, this feast? What is in your bucket? And actually, truth of the matter is, no matter how big a bucket we brought our second tithe in, we need bigger buckets. And this isn't fair. It's bigger, but it's nothing compared to what we really need at God's feast. What does your heart, your soul desire? How big a bucket would you like to fill? How big a bucket would you like others to be filling at the feast? It's wonderful to have a bigger bucket. Let's head to Psalm chapter 46. I don't know how big a bucket you've seen. The biggest bucket I've seen is hanging under a helicopter. You've seen the big sky crane helicopters that look like a big dragonfly flying along, and they have a 2,000-gallon bucket under them. They dip water out of a river and put it on a fire. The Chinook helicopter is that great big one that looks like a boxcar with a rotor on each end. And they can lift 3,000 gallons of water. That's a pretty big bucket. There might be bigger buckets, but that's the biggest I've seen. It helps my imagination. Psalm 46. I should go there because that's what I'm wanting to talk about. Psalm 46 begins talking about troubling times, like that last hymn. And troubling times are something very real in our lives, in the world around us. And yet, right in the midst of this Psalm 46, verse 4, this is fascinating. We think of the river of God. We think of Ezekiel chapter 47. And we think of Revelation 22 gives us more details about this river. Psalm 46, verse 4. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy of the tabernacle of the Most High. Wow. Now that's a river that we know is abundant. It's swelling and growing even as it flows out, as we see in Ezekiel 47. It flows out. That's the important thing. It doesn't just build a little pond there at God's temple, God's house, but it goes out. And it goes out for healing, right? It goes out to bless wherever it goes. So when I dip in that river, I want a bucket. Well, I'm not man enough anymore for a big enough bucket. But you know, when we each have a little bigger bucket and we each can dip more, it goes on to say, the river whose streams, a river whose streams, you know, it's a rivers of living water, talks about in Revelation 22, and rivers flow out. Where else does a river flow out from? Jesus said, if we believe in him, rivers of living water flow out of our belly, out of our heart, out of us, out to others, out to you, out to your neighbors, out to all out to the community as well when we're in the community. Flow out. They flow from a source, from a headwaters into us, and then go out to others. Last year, Evelyn and I, and some of you here, were in Israel for the feast. And we went up to northern Israel, to the area of Dan, and we saw the headwaters of the Jordan River. One place was a spring. There are many headwaters, actually. And we walked the trail up to see the spring. But on the trail up and the trail back, we were stepping over little tiny trickles of water coming right out of the rocks in the bank where the trail. We were stepping right over what became then a torrent of water when it all gathered together. When all the streams come together, it makes the river. And yet it says here that this river has streams that go out and make the city of God. When we dip our little second tide bucket in the big bucket out of God's river, and then we distribute it wherever we will, that's where the little bucket belongs, is in God's big bucket, dipping out of his river. And we're the streams, we're the channels, we're the opportunity someone else has to add to their joy. And when they add to our joy, you know, the whole is greater than the sum of the individuals. God provides the river abundance. He's the headwater. He blesses us with increase. We gather it, we collect it, and we dip our big bucket in his river. And then like an irrigation canal, we distribute it. Living waters, healing words that we share at the feast so that we can make glad the city of God and the tabernacle, that holy place. Aren't we his household? Aren't we his tabernacle where he dwells to make glad the people of God, of the Most High? Little 2T buckets. It's kind of cute. But they need to dip out of the bigger buckets so that it multiplies. And it multiplies. More blessed to give than to receive. Doesn't limit the blessings and the happiness only to the giver. Because the rejoicing is mutual. Indeed, it's beneficial. We can't deny someone an opportunity to give. out of embarrassment, or we can't accept every invitation, understand that. There's only so much time. And yet, one thing I had to learn, and we see it, sometimes we have to let somebody else pick up the tab at the restaurant. Sometimes we need to let somebody else tell the story. Let somebody else do the giving and be a receiver. I know as we get older, it's not just me, I've heard it from many people, those that have always been giving and helping and serving, and suddenly they need help and they just can't bring themselves, one, to ask, or two, to accept if it's offered for help. We need to be receivers so that others can be givers. It's a big part of God's plan. Isaiah chapter 25. So we don't want to be... Well, let's go look here at what our Father, the great God. Isaiah chapter 25, just one verse, because God sets the example for us to follow. God, Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 6, of course. Isaiah 25, verse 6, and in this mountain, the kingdom of God, the Lord of hosts will make for all people. See, it isn't just for the few. For all people. He has intentions of goodness and blessings for all people. A feast of choice pieces. A feast of wines on the lees. I like expensive wine sometimes. But my sons are more generous than me. They'll buy a really old wine and give it to me. Because sometimes they're expensive. But the difference is incredible. And of fat things full of marrow, of well-refined wines on the lees. See, our Father sets this example. He has, that's what's in his heart. He could keep it all for himself. But no, isn't it fascinating? Jesus in Luke 12, again, I won't go there for time's sake, but Jesus in Luke 12 says that when the master returns and finds the servants doing as he's instructed them, that he will set the servants down and he will gird himself and serve you and me. That's one of the most incredible scriptures in the Word of God. That's beautiful. That's really amazing. Let's head to Psalm chapter 36. So God isn't limited to second tithe, you know, he can have a cattle on 1,000 hills. He's just not limited as we are. So we learn to make choices, to make the best we can with the time we have. But here, let's finish this picture that we're looking at in Psalm chapter 36. In verse 7, it's talking about the children of men, the children of mankind, the children of Adam, if you will. Verse 8, Psalm 36 and verse 8 says, they, that's us, that's all that God will collect at his feast, they are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. What are his pleasures? What pleases God? Whatever it is that pleases God, that he finds pleasure in, he wants to share it with us. He sets that example, and we want to be like our Father. This feast of abundance in his house, and to drink from his river of pleasures. And isn't just a little river, is it? It's a torrent. That word pleasures, the river of his pleasures, is Eden, like the Garden of Eden. Means delightful things. The next verse, it says that, you know, he's the fountain. He's the fountain. He's the source. He's the headwaters. We do the best with what we do have in our little buckets, and that's good. We do the best we can with what we have. We have 8 days. We're encouraged to participate. We're encouraged to serve. There are many here who are true servants that we don't. Back in Deuteronomy 14 and 16, it says, don't neglect the Levite. Now, I know this is not that tabernacle, and yet there are many who serve the house of God among us. We have many pastors among us, but also many other hands that are serving. And that's what the Levites did, was enable the priests to fulfill the duties and the responsibilities in the house of God. We have many, if you will, Levites among us. Don't neglect the Levites. Part of our responsibility, part of our opportunity. We have an abundance of living the kingdom now. Think about it. Today is, to the world, Friday, right? Sixth day is preparation day for the Sabbath. This age is preparation day for the kingdom of God, the 6,000 years, looking to the 7,000 years. Now we're preparing, now we're setting aside, now we're growing and overcoming, sharing, being what we could never be by ourselves. It will be a time of restoration. You know, restoration, one way we could say, it's rest from their world's tribulation, from the world's destructive ways. The adversary attitude will be shut up, and the generous attitude will prevail. There's a proverb that says, a merry heart has a continual feast. A merry heart, a heart that's positive in its outlook, a heart that's kind in its response, a heart that's glad in its countenance. I've seen so many smiles here. What do we have, 300 and some smiles in here? What a beautiful picture it is. I wish you could see from, well, that's not fair. Chose that guy instead of you. You're it. Abundance is of the heart. And then we have a perpetual feast. Although the belly gets full, and yet the feast of the heart goes on and on and on. Mr. Ben Light said, we need to go home with our cups full. Or our buckets. The little bucket will be empty, won't it? It will be, you know, all its opportunities will be spent. Well spent. Well spent. But the big bucket can go home full. The buckets of our hearts, of our lives. Jesus also said that where much is given, that much is expected or much is required. We have been given much, and we will receive much more in this feast. Many of these words that we're here to hear will be read to us, and we will share the reading of it, and we will hear them expounded and put together. So we dip our big bucket in the river, and we take our little bucket and we distribute it. I don't know if any of us can drink a whole bucket full, but we can drink a little bit. We can share a little bit. So I would say, may this feast of, no, not may this feast of abundance, make this feast of abundance the feast of our abundance, running over at the running wine.